The verse in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 15 mentions foxes. In the 3+ years that I've been pastor, I don't believe I preached a message out of Song of Solomon. There's not too many people that preach messages, a lot of messages out of Song of Solomon. But tonight's message, I believe, is an important one for the sake of the whole church. It's a protective message. It's a preventative message. I believe it will be a message that will be helpful. Is there anyone here who would say, "Preacher, I have had a fox kill chickens or do destruction to crops before"? Raise your hand. Okay, number of you, you know what I'm referring to when I refer to a fox as a ravenous creature. They look so innocent out in the middle of a field. But they aren't innocent if they get into your chicken pen and begin to go after chickens. I remember years ago living next to Glenn and Darlene Parks, and I remember Glenn telling me a story about a fox and how a fox got into some of their things. And foxes do damage. Truth of the matter is, foxes do damage, and oftentimes we find out about them too little, too late. The damage is already done. It's amazing to me that Samson, the Bible says, went and caught 300 foxes. Foxes are fast. Foxes, if they see any slight movement, if you're out hunting and the fox sees you, they hide, they run, they're quick. And while Samson was also, while he was strong, he must have been fast to catch 300 foxes. Very interesting to me. At the end of a fox's destructive work, however, something is always lost. They are known for being destructive. They are known for their destructive tendencies. When the Bible brings the fox into Song of Solomon, it's bringing it into the context of a relationship between a husband and a wife, and by extension, God's relationship to his people. And so the specific application of the fox here is that there are foxes that get into our marriages and that can destroy the fruit of a beautiful marriage. That's the specific application. The beloved was asking her lover to take the initiative in solving the problems that would be potentially harmful to their relationship. Perhaps it's the fox of an uncontrolled desire, which drives a wedge of guilt between a couple. Perhaps it's a fox of mistrust or jealousy, which was breaking the bond in this particular relationship. It could have been the fox of selfishness and pride, which refuses to let one acknowledge his fault to the other. And the plea is, take us the foxes. Let's deal with the foxes. It may be an unforgiving spirit which will not accept an apology of someone else, a mate in particular. These foxes that I've mentioned have been spoiling marriage vineyards for years, and they continue to do their work of destruction. Foxes are known to dig around grapevines and to eat the tender shoots and blossoms from the vine. It causes the plant or the vine to die and prevents them from bearing fruit. Tonight, I want to deal with some little foxes that dig around the hearts of God's people and eat the tender shoots and blossoms and cause a spiritual life to begin to die. In a garden, one will tell you that in order to keep pests out of your garden, you must first identify the creature that's causing the damage and learn the habits of that animal in order to keep them out of what you've put work into. So it is when the preacher studies the scripture and God identifies foxes that have the potential of tearing apart lives and families and taking the precious fruit that we work so hard to see in lives. I want you to understand that in this passage, the passage identifies foxes, plural. meaning that there are always foxes, plural, that are nipping away at your relationship with God, at your time with the Lord, at your mind staying on Him. I wish I could keep the message general tonight and just talk about foxes in general. Most pulpits are going this way. But God talks about specifics. And I want to deal with some specifics. I want you to know, as the pastor of this church, I watch for souls in this flock. I pray over souls in this flock. I watch directions. I watch decisions. I hear talk. Not so that I can condemn anybody, not so that I can hurt anybody, but I watch for the souls of this people because this people is precious to God and they're precious to me. And when I see patterns and when I hear things and when I see decisions that are made and see little foxes that sometimes are nipping away at the hearts of people, old and young alike, it burns my heart to the point of preaching a message on little foxes. A little fox looks so innocent. I was looking up pictures on little foxes this week, and I thought, you know, these things look like pets. They don't look like they're going to do any destruction. They don't look like they're going to hurt anything. But the Bible says in this passage, little foxes. Let us take the little foxes. First little fox I want to introduce to you tonight is the little fox of laziness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. As you're turning there, in analogy with the passage in Song of Solomon chapter 2, I want you to know tonight that every person here has a vineyard. It's your soul. It's your inner being. It's the most important part. It's the most important thing to take care of in your life. You say, well, preacher, I have a vehicle. That needs to be maintained. Yes, it does, but not as much as your soul does. You say, I have a house, I have money, I have things that need to be maintained. None of those things are as important as maintaining your soul. Your soul is your number one vineyard. The care of a soul is very tedious and it's challenging. It involves the careful work of plowing and planting the right things in your soul. It involves the work of cultivating and pulling out weeds in your heart and watering with the Word of God, and harvesting, just as a farmer is in a joint venture with God to care for the fields and care for the crops that God gives him, so you are in joint venture with God to care about your own soul. Your soul is your vineyard. A stunning statement is made in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse number 6, where he says this, "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." I've kept other things. I've taken care of other things in my life. But mine own vineyard I have not kept. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34, paint a similar picture. It says, "And I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Solomon writing here says, "I took a trip one day, and I went to a field with a vineyard. And I saw the field all grown up. I saw nettles that covered the field. I saw the purposes for those vineyards not being fulfilled. I saw the stone wall was broken down." He says, "I saw it, I considered it well, and from it I received instruction." Every person has a vineyard. It's your soul. And I want you to know that the little foxes are out to get it. One of the ways that they get it is when we give in to laziness. The second vineyard that we have a responsibility for is that of our family. Not only is our soul challenging to keep, but so is the vineyard of the family. The care for the family in our times is so challenging to help keep everybody pointed in a right direction and on a right path. It's a difficult vineyard to manage at times. But I want you to know that little foxes are after your soul and little foxes are after the family. A little laziness will cause you to forfeit the blessing of work. A little laziness will cause you to forfeit personal time with the Lord. A little laziness will open the door for a little sin. Where laziness shows up is where we give ourselves continually to the things that we like to give ourselves to, but not the things that we need to give ourselves to. This is where laziness shows up. I believe this is a hardworking church. I believe as far as jobs and as far as work of the ministry, as far as the work around here, this place, this people is a hardworking people. But I also know my own tendencies. And I know man's tendencies. And that is to give ourselves to things that we like to give ourselves to. And neglect the things that we should be giving ourselves to. Some ladies enjoy talking on the phone, going shopping, Facebook time. But taking care of the home, making sure meals are prepared for the family, taking care of the basic needs of cleaning around the house, I don't like that so much. I give myself to the things I like to give myself to, but I don't give myself to the things that I often need to give myself to. Laziness. Brethren, laziness, a little laziness, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. The Bible says it's going to bring about trouble in your life. It's going to cause a vineyard to be lost, a family, a soul. Men, we enjoy maybe working out in the garage, reading the newspaper, making house improvements, but leading in family devotions or getting to church faithfully or praying for your kids and your wife, these may not be the things that you get the thrill out of, but they're the things that need to be done. Nobody else can lead that. Nobody else can pray for your wife and your children. Nobody else can get the family in the car and say, we are going to get to church every service, no matter what happens. That's the job of a daddy. And again, we give ourselves to the things we like to do. But sometimes laziness creeps in the things that we don't so much enjoy doing, but that need to be done. And I'm saying the little foxes get in there. And they begin to eat away at the vine. They begin to eat away at the family. They begin to eat away at your own personal soul. Take us the foxes. We've got to address the foxes in our lives. Little laziness as a father or mother, not to stay on top of the kids, not to give yourself to diligently training your children, to do only the things that you enjoy and neglect the discipline of daily duties with your children. A little laziness will cause the vines to spoil. The little foxes will get in. They get in quick. Little slumber in your homeschool. Laziness in young people shows up when you cheat in school and take a shortcut because you don't want to do the work that's supposed to be done, that needs to be done to get it done right. My dad taught me a little phrase growing up, do it right the first time. Do it right the first time. Be thorough. Students, be thorough in your school. Don't take shortcuts. Those are the little foxes. Those are the things that are going to spoil your life. They're not going to give you the best in life. It's the little foxes that cut at the blossoms and the roots that are going to form your life in a beautiful way. But if you take these shortcuts, you take the little fox of laziness and you don't deal with it and you don't address it and you don't root it out of your life, it's going to spoil your life. Laziness is often connected with lying. A froward mouth, that is someone who is crooked, is often connected with someone who is lazy. You'll see those two connected throughout the book of Proverbs. I think of those who go on welfare and have to report whether or not they have purposely and actively looked for a job. And I wonder how many of them answer that question honestly. Laziness shows up in church. The media intake in our country and among believers is killing us as far as our attention in church. The average American watches TV just over 4 hours a day, but we can't hardly sit for 30 or more minutes to listen to a message and keep our mind on it. Why? Because we're consumed with media. We've got to be entertained all the time. And that little fox is eating away, I'm fearful, it's eating away at our minds that we can't even keep our minds connected to a message for a half an hour. Ramey writes in his book, Expository Listening, after TV watching and going to the movies and surfing the internet all week long, you come to church and have to sit and listen to a lengthy sermon that requires a great deal of concentration and exertion you aren't used to. So what are churches doing? Media. When faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that's still what is to be Trump suit in the church, the preaching of God's Word. But that's getting pushed out because we've got to satisfy and get the ear of the entertained person. Foxes, little foxes. Adam said, many today drift into church with their minds turned off. They slouch in the pew and expect the preacher to do the rest. We become spiritually lazy. Some come empty spiritually and can't wait till the service gets over. God forbid if that's your heart tonight. If you're coming to church week after week and you can't wait till a service gets over, something's wrong. Something big is wrong. The fox has been eaten for a while at your vine, at your soul. Some come convinced every week they leave, they're okay. Life's okay. My family's okay. It's been a good day in church. Nothing has changed in my life. I haven't let God get down to the inner recesses of my heart, but I've been to church. And brethren, I'm saying God wants more than that. God wants to work in your soul, in your vine. Little laziness is a little fox. There's a second little fox in the Scripture. It's called little folly. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 1. Little folly. It doesn't say in this passage a lot of folly. It does say in this passage a little folly. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Young people and older alike, we have the potential to have a reputation of wisdom and honor. Every person here has that potential. To be known as a wise person, and to be known as a person that is to be honored. But you know the little fox that will take all that away is a little folly in your life. I shared this with our staff this week, some of our staff. Little folly is usually excused by thoughts like this. A little of this won't hurt me. Or I can control my involvement in this. Or, I don't see anything wrong with this as long as, fill in the blank. If your thinking is in an area like that, you are probably going to give yourself to little folly unless your thinking changes. A little running down of my mate. Just being critical of my mate. It won't hurt me that bad. A little dishonesty. I mean, just this one area I need to cover myself in. And then I'll move on with life and forget all about it. a little pornography on my phone. There's only a couple websites I visit. A little communication with a strange woman. Just a little. A little shorter dress or skirt. It's not that big a difference. Just a little. A little physical contact outside the bounds of marriage. It's okay as long as we don't go too far. And we've set boundaries, preacher. We're only going to allow this. Little folly. Preacher, I've got almost all the swear words out of my vocabulary except one or two. A little emotional relationship with someone who's not your wife or husband. Just a little. A little disrespect of spiritual leadership in my life. A little late night television, as long as I don't watch anything real bad. A little contemporary music. There's just a couple of artists that I really like. It only takes a little folly to rip away wisdom and honor in your life. It's a little fox. And that little fox will spoil your vine. It'll spoil the fruit in your life that you're supposed to bear for our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll spoil your roots. You won't grow like you should be growing as long as you're holding over here to a little folly. Little secret sin, preacher. It's no big deal. I mean, nobody knows about it. Maybe God, but I want you to know a little folly will mess up your life. When we trust ourselves with a little of these things, what happens is they grow bigger. It's Satan's sales pitch. So that the little foxes can get in and spoil the vine. Brethren, hear your preacher tonight. If you're dealing with a little folly, you need to get rid of it out of your life. I never deal with big situations without things starting with a little folly. Big situations always come from somebody that was convinced I can be involved in something little and it won't hurt me. I'll get away with it. It's not really going to affect my life. And a little folly does a lot of damage. Every time it does a lot of damage. Proverbs speaks of it. Here's a family that's blossoming as Christians. And then a little fox, a little folly, enters one of the children or one of the parents. Before long, the sweet fruit of that family is dried up. The wild fruits of the flesh begin to appear one at a time until there are multiple fruits of the flesh that have taken over a whole family because one of the family allowed a little fox to get in and begin to eat away at their vine. Brethren, we must be vigilant against the little foxes. There's a third little fox that I find in the scriptures. It's little faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Little faith. Little faith hinders sweet fruit in our lives. It's recognized by Jesus. It's something that he confronts and rebukes in the disciples' lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" In Matthew 16, he addresses the disciples again in Matthew 16 in verse number 8, where he says, "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" Little faith could be in relationship to a big situation. Little faith could be in relationship to a broken relationship. Little faith could be in relationship to God's provision in your life. Little faith could be in relationship to God working in the heart of a wayward family member. Little faith could be in relationship to a storm. But beware of the little fox of little faith that will eat at your heart and steal you of the tenderness that you have before the Lord. Because when we don't respond in faith, often we respond in accusation to God. When we do not believe Him, we often accuse Him. And it's interesting that in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15, our text, it talks about taking us the foxes because of the tenderness of the grapes, because of the tenderness of the vine. There's another little fox in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's called a little leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it points out very specifically what the little leaven is. Begin following along as I read verse number 1 and down through verse number 8. It says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The leaven here is the package of fornication that the church was overlooking. That is the application that the Bible makes. It was reported commonly that there was fornication among the church. Fornication is physical relations outside the bounds of marriage. And Paul comes out strong here. He says about it, your glorying is not good. He says about it that this person, if they're unrepentant, they need to be turned over to Satan so that their spirit can be saved. It's for the good of that person in the end, but it's a difficult way of handling it in the beginning. I want you to know that when this sin is present in the church, it leaveneth the whole lump. It is to be purged. I want to make it very clear, we are not to feel sorry for those that are involved in this sin. That is not a biblical response to this sin. We are not to congratulate them. We are not to glory in it. We are not to like it on Facebook. Glorying is not good. Because leaven, a little leaven, spoils lives. It spoils the individuals that are involved. It robs them of some treasures that they had before they crossed those lines in their lives. But it also affects a body. It infects the entire body, the Bible says. The motivation is not one of being mean or insensitive. The motivation is for the good of the other person involved in the sin. And the motivation is Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And brethren, if this sin is practiced, if this sin is being lived out, you need to understand what the Bible says about it. You need to understand what is a biblical response to somebody that's involved in this kind of sin. There's another little fox in the Scripture. James chapter 3 and verse number 5. Every one of us have this little fox. It's called the tongue. James chapter 3 and verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Another little fox that works at spoiling your heart and mine that robs us of spiritual fruit is the little member called the tongue. My tongue and your tongue can be critical. It can be deceitful. It can be out of control. It seems unmanageable at times. That's why the psalmist said, "Set a guard, O Lord, set a watch on my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." A little tongue can do so much damage to your own soul. We often think that when we use our tongue in a bad way, that it does the damage that we want it to do to somebody else. But you know where the damage is done? Right here. The tongue damages me. When I use it in a wrong way, it damages me. And when you use it in a wrong way, it damages you. It's a little fox that works at spoiling the vine. At the beginning of the message, I told you that the passage says little foxes, plural. Truth of the matter is, I haven't covered all the little foxes tonight in Scripture. But I've covered enough, hopefully, to show you that there are little foxes after your soul and after your family all the time in your life. Right. And if anything, one of the goals of the message is to put everybody in our church on high alert regarding the little foxes. Truth of the matter is, some are getting in. They're getting into lives, and they're getting into families. And while it's a preventative maintenance message, it's also a message that if you're sensing a little fox, you better take us the foxes right now. You better grab one tonight by the neck, and you better get it out of your life. You better get it out of your family, because it's going to take the vine. And you don't see all the underwork of the fox, all the stuff that happens below the surface, all the stuff that happens, if I could say, at night, until it's too late. And you go out one day to the vine, your own soul, and you can't figure out why you're not bearing fruit, why you're miserable, why life is just not fulfilling any purpose, why you're having trouble. And the fox has been at work for some time. You look at your family and think, man, I never thought this could happen here. Never thought I'd be facing this. And the fox has been working around your vineyard for some time. And all I'm saying, church, is be alert to the foxes. Create in me a clean heart, God, as David wrote, and renew a right spirit within me. God, this fox of laziness has gotten in. In my life, I'm doing some things that I like to do, but I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. I'm not doing the things that really are high priority in God's eyes for me. The fox of folly has gotten in. I've convinced myself in some areas that a little won't hurt. I'm going to be able to deal with it. I'm going to be able to control it. I'm going to be able to get over it. I'm going to be able to make it through it. But a little folly make a great big mess. A little faith in some area, causing me to accuse God rather than to believe in God. A little folly, a little faith, a little laziness, a little leaven. What is the little in your life?